Welcome to Something Different from OU Torah, where we give you something different for your learning day. Is mindfulness a modern concept? Is it a philosophy that originates in Eastern religions? Or is it something whose roots we can find in Torah sources? This is the topic addressed by Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg in this shiur from Torah Los Angeles entitled, Are We Asleep at the Wheel? Living a Mindful and Meaningful Jewish Life.
There's a story of a Jewish woman who schleps to the Himalayas in search of a famous guru. You know this one. She travels by plane, train, and rickshaw to reach a Buddhist monastery in Nepal. And when she gets there, schwitzing, exhausted, having exerted great effort and spending a lot of money, an old lama in a maroon and saffron robe opens the door, and the woman promptly requests a meeting with the guru. So the lama explains, it's impossible. The guru's time is so valuable. He's famous. He's lost in meditation and contemplation. He's in silent retreat. He's meditating on a mountaintop. It's impossible. But she's not willing to take no for an answer. She insists she absolutely must go see the guru. And finally, the lama acquiesces, but gives her the following rules. Number one, the meeting must be brief. Number two, she has to bow when she meets and greets the guru. And number three, and most importantly, she cannot say more than 8 words. His time is so valuable, he's so lost in meditation. All she has are 8 words. And the woman agrees. Desperate to meet him, she agrees. So she hires a Sherpa and a yak, and she sets off on the grueling trek to make it to the top of the mountain where this guru is meditating. And with hardly an ounce of energy left, her spiritual search brings her to the opening of a cave high on top of a mountain. And keeping within the 8-word allotment that she has been given, she addresses the guru. She takes a deep breath. She sticks her head into the opening of the cave. She bows. And having carefully measured her 8 words, she simply says, Sheldon, it's your mother. Enough already. Come home. Now, you all know this old Jewish joke. And the reason I open with it today is because we're living in a time in which mistakenly we think that the concepts of mindfulness, consciousness, presence, intentionality, we mistakenly think that these are new age, newfangled ideas. They're introduced to us and brought to us by Eastern religions, by Buddhism, and we could not be more wrong. These are not ideas that are introduced or developed by modern psychology. They are what our sacred Torah are all about. They are what our system and platform of halacha are meant to generate and to promote within us. We are the originators of lives of meaningfulness and mindfulness, of consciousness and intention. Our sacred Torah sources and texts are replete with these ideas and these messages and these lessons and these values. Not to exclude or to reject the modern formulation or vocabulary, which has certainly brought it even greater to our attention and has elevated our practice of it. But make no mistake, these do not belong to the realm of the new, but they are part of our sacred tradition. And that's what I want to spend our time this morning sharing with you, is that leading a mindful life, a meaningful life, a conscious life, an intentional life, they're not nice ideas. It's not simply something that in today's day and age one should introduce. And I'm not going to share with you all the research, of which there's an endless amount, about the benefits of a mindful life, of being present in what we're doing, of not being fragmented and scattered and distracted and divided, but actually being immersed in whatever we're doing, the benefits on our physical health, our respiratory system, our cardiac system, literally benefits to our longevity and our health, the benefits to our psychological, emotional, spiritual health, and the impact it has on helping us, not with clinically diagnosed anxiety, depression, and the like, but just the regular neuroses that most of us go through. The benefits are not debatable. And I don't want to spend our time on it, but I want to show with you and trace with you through our tradition. Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavu, Ushmartam is divrei abris hazos v'asisam osam. Torah tells us, Moshe very succinctly is communicating the mandate and mission to observe Torah, Shmartem, keep this bris. This is our covenant, this is our commitment, this is our promise to Hashem. V'asisim osam, they're not just in theory, they're not abstract. We have to put them into practice, we have to execute them. And why? Moshe gives us the reason. The Torah is not shy. It doesn't hesitate to share with us why we are observing Torah and mitzvos. Says the Torah, Leman taskilu is kol asher ta'asun, which translates normally as, you shall observe the words of the covenant, you should perform them. Leman taskilu, so that you will succeed in all that you do. This pasuk, which seems so benign and is often neglected, at the end of Parshas Kisavo, is actually the mission statement of why we do what we do. Our lives are so deeply regulated. The details and minutiae from when we wake up in the morning, the first words of our mouth and how we wash our hands and what order we put on our shoes, till the moment we fall asleep at night, the last words out of our mouth, Shema and Amapil, and how to sleep and so on. And everything in between is so highly regulated and legislated, exactly what to do, how to get dressed and how to eat and what to look at and where to go and how to conduct ourselves in business and interpersonal reactions and with God and how to interact with our diet and our food, every aspect of our lives. And the Torah is telling us why. Leman taskilu is kol asher ta'asun. Leman taskilu, the Ibn Ezra translates taskilu as kimo tatzlichu, so that you will succeed in all you do. Torah and mitzvos are there. Halacha is a framework to empower us to lead a successful life.
Like what you just heard? Hear the rest of that shiur and much more on OUTorah.org or by using the OU Torah app for iOS and Android.